We're shining a light on public health and the value of the work done by public health professionals. Today, you'll hear from Dr. Renata Schiavo, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Communication and Healthcare. Hi, everybody. This is 10 Minutes to Better Patient Communication, ranked number 20 in the top 100 podcasts in social sciences, giving you inspiration and strategies to improve engagement, experience, and satisfaction since 2017. I'm Dr. Anne-Marie Liebel, a researcher, consultant, and educator with expertise in communication and education. I'm here to dig into some of what we might take for granted about communication in our professional lives. If you want to strengthen the work you can do in your professional sphere, this is a place for you because communication touches everything. We're here to learn, get inspired, and most importantly, make the difference we got into our jobs to make. And I don't know if you're keeping track, but we're almost at 200 episodes. Our next episode is going to be number 200, so don't miss that one. And I have a special message for our listeners in California. If you're in California and your organization works with Medi-Cal's CalAIM, I have good news for you. Health Communication Partners is now a state-approved vendor on the California PATH Technical Assistance Marketplace. What does this mean? It means your organization can work with HCP for free. That's right, no cost to you to support enhanced care management as part of CalAIM. We specialize in promoting health equity and supporting cross-sector partnerships. So if you work for an organization involved in CalAIM implementation, get in touch with me on LinkedIn or visit healthcommunicationpartners.com and click on contact. Today, I'm returning to an interview with Dr. Renata Schiavo, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Communication and Healthcare and Senior Lecturer at Columbia University. We did this interview during COVID, and she'll be coming back to the show soon, so keep your ears peeled for her. Her advice on community engagement and pursuing health equity is as relevant and inspirational now as it was then. Here's Dr. Schiavo.
Thank you for inviting me.
So Dr. Schiavo is the senior lecturer at the Department of Sociomedical Sciences at Columbia's Mailman School of Public Health. She's the editor-in-chief of the peer-reviewed Journal of Communication and Healthcare, Strategies, Media, and Engagement in Global Health, and is also the founder and president and on the board of directors of the Health Equity Initiative, which is a member-driven nonprofit membership organization. Now, Dr. Schiavo, can you tell us a little bit about the Health Equity Initiative that you founded?
Yes, thank you, Anna-Marie. My passion has been always with working with underserved, marginalized, vulnerable population, both in the U.S. and in other countries. So Health Equity Initiative is founded on the principle that we need so many different people, so many different sectors, so many different communities to get engaged in addressing the social determinant of health. And so we focus on championing transformative change to advance health equity. We support knowledge, we engage community leaders and build capacity to address the barriers that prevent people from leading a healthy and productive life. And Health Equity Initiative advocates for improving conditions and achieving equity in health for all.
Thank you for that. That's a remarkable reach that the organization has, and you're already hinting at some of where I'm going with my next question, because you're someone who works on health equity in and beyond the health sector at multiple levels. So what is a problem that is really front of mind for you that you are trying to address that's related to health communication?
So never as in this moment, and also throughout my career, we have been reminded about the impact of social discrimination, whether it's racism or other forms of discrimination, just like against the LGBTQI community or against people from low-income settings or immigrants or others. So I think that both COVID-19 and the recent episodes of police brutality against the Black community have demonstrated the importance of addressing social discrimination in our communities and as a key determinant of a lot of health and social inequities we see. And I feel that communication, with its focus on building bridges, creating partnerships, empowering people, has a key role in addressing social discrimination.
Thank you for that. And I'm wondering, in the multiple leadership roles that you hold, how are you doing some of this work? How are you doing some of this bridge building? What does that look like in your career? What does that mean to you now?
My main concern is that a lot of the work we do in our communication continues to be a bit top down. And we really need to bring in the voice of communities and use participatory and human-centered design solution to approach so many of these inequities that our communities experience. So it's important to listen to their concerns, to their issues, their needs, their priority, and develop solutions with them. And so this is an approach that is by far more common in economically developing nations, such as the countries where I work. I work in Rwanda, in Angola, in Brazil. And so community consultation, community dialogue tends to be approaches that are more used in a lot of those countries. And also here in the US, we are seeing a lot of, increased interest in community dialogue and engagement. So there is a lot to learn also from these experiences from developing countries and the importance of coming together as a community and really raising the voice of community leaders.
So it sounds like you're using some of your experiences in the Rwanda, Angola, Brazil, and seeing some traction here for the community-driven approaches in the U.S. How does that emerge in your work with the Journal of Communication and Healthcare?
So I think that there are different ways that in the journal we are trying to basically advocate for these themes to be integrated in our communication. One of them is through editorials, both by myself and other members of our editorial board. And the other one is through call for papers that highlight the importance of community-driven approaches to communication and also other initiatives that may bring in the voices of patients and community leaders within the materials we receive and publish.
What are you learning from going about this community-driven approach? What are you learning looking back at your career right now that might be helpful in this moment?
So first of all, it is possible to do this. That's one important lessons learned. And in fact, you mentioned before Health Equity Initiative, we worked with the Office of the Minority Health Resource Center, or the HHS Office of Minority Health, on a consultative process with community leaders, with local academia, with local community centers, and a variety of other stakeholders to develop task forces for infant mortality prevention here in the United States in cities where there were high rates of infant mortalities. There are some reluctance to do that because sometimes people may feel that there is a lot of time invested in participatory planning processes, but actually the time that we may save up front, we waste at the end because the solution we may design may not be meeting the needs and priorities of our communities. And also, if we design communication intervention with communities, we also recognize the expert in their needs and priority. And so one of the main themes in my work has been that we need to recognize the expert on everyone. And while we may be, trained in public health, we may be trained in health communication, the communities are really the expert in their needs and priority. And also these reduces the chance for any kind of bias or discrimination. We may bring in intervention that have been designed without the input of community leaders and the communities that they are intended for.
Such a powerful set of statements, too. What happens when you begin with the communities that you are trying to serve? You save time because you haven't made an intervention that is irrelevant to them because they have been informing it all along. You help eliminate bias because it's their values and their languages that are informing the processes. And you build a different kind of relationship when you treat people as experts in their own situations and in their own lives. Thank you for that. Thank you for all of that. What do you see as your next steps as a leader, a researcher, an editor-in-chief, a citizen?
I feel that things are starting to move in the right direction. So there is a lot of interest in community engagement, in community mobilization. We are seeing the recent protests being an example of community mobilization. But it's also important that people start releasing some power and sit down on equal footing with community members and really start recognizing this expert in everyone. This is a lesson that I learned very early in my career as a young practitioner in Angola. I was basically working on malaria prevention in refugee camps, and I had in one of these encounters a young mother approaching me, and she just came to thank me for being there, but she also said, look, what you're talking about, malaria prevention in this moment, is not important to me. What I'm concerned about is whether my children are going to sleep tonight, whether they are going to have food, and the fact that my husband just recently died. And this was a very important moment in my career in which I learned about the importance of attending first to the needs and priority of the communities we serve. So I think that this is an important moment for the health equity and racial equity movement, a moment in which we need to put health and social justice at the forefront of everything we do, a moment in which we have to make every action and policy count toward the health equity and making sure that the community voices are heard and that they are incorporated in our communications, in our policy, in our intervention.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Angola story too. And for the emphasis on these, on the kind of coming together, the institutionalizing, the formalizing, the codifying of these practices that have been going on in different places around the world for decades now. But let's go ahead and make that mainstream. Let's go ahead and really focus on seeing the expertise that's in the communities and engaging that in every step of the process. Thank you, Dr. Sciavo, for being on the show and sharing this with us.
Thank you very much.
This has been 10 Minutes to Better Patient Communication from Health Communication Partners. I'm Dr. Anne-Marie Liebel, live via Skype with Dr. Renata Sciavo.
Thanks for listening to 10 Minutes to Better Patient Communication from Health Communication Partners, LLC. Find us at healthcommunicationpartners.com.